I think it was a radio program that that began with these words, "Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin." Those of an older generation may be able to correct me if I'm wrong. But comfort is something that that our world is big on today. Comfortable chairs, comfortable footwear, comfortable clothes, comfort cooling, comfort blankets, comfort shopping, comfortable loan repayments, comfort eating, all from the comfort of your sofa. Comfort is something that this society is all about. I want to ask you this morning, where do you go for your comfort? Where do you go for your comfort? What do you turn to? Are there some things in your life that you've grown too comfortable with in your life? Things that might not ought to be there, or things that you think will never change? It might have been a long time, but change comes when we trust in God, the God of all comfort. Psalm 121, verses 1 to 2 says, "I lift up..." Where should I point, Simon? Over there? "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Our biggest trouble is sometimes where we turn in times of trouble. You know, I parent my boys and my daughter, but particularly my boys. You know, when something happens, I will get it. I was once a boy. I understand footballs hit windows. I understand bikes scrape cars. I understand things break when you climb on them. I understand these things. But you'll not be in trouble for that. What gets you into trouble is what happens when you do when you're in trouble. When you hide these things, when you lie about these things, when you try to go somewhere else to fix these things, that's when the trouble comes. And we're no different. Our biggest trouble is often where we turn when we're in trouble. You know, there are things today that help us and are aids to us all through life. Alexa, the Amazon dot thing, Siri, Cortana. There are help desks everywhere, handy helpmates, help the aged, helping hands, self-help books everywhere. They're all useful in their context, but when it comes to your soul, which gives us the biggest kind of trouble, where do you turn for your comfort and your help? Psalm 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble." Are you anxious? Are you troubled this morning? Then look to God. He is your refuge and your strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. And yet Jesus, we find, spoke these words. He actually spoke these words as he was preparing to return to heaven. He was preparing to leave the disciples. He was warning them that they wouldn't see him anymore once he returned to the Father. And he says these words, "Don't let your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid." The Messiah returning, the Messiah that was killed, murdered, and then was raised back to life, and they saw him again, and then he says, "I'm not here to stay. Don't hang on to me, don't cling to me. I'm going." And he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." I wonder this morning, do you feel like you can't see Jesus anymore? Well, don't worry, because you're in good company with the disciples. And the same good news that Jesus had for the disciples, he has for you too. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." That is great news. We sang it this morning, just that chorus hit me afresh again. Thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit. Gave us his Son and he's left us the Spirit, that we will not be as orphans. We'll not be parentless, we'll not be familyless, we'll not be without a guardian or guidance. But the good news is that Jesus promises he will not leave us as orphans, but he will come to us. So where on earth does our help come from? The Father? Jesus? The Holy Spirit? Who's the advocate that is talked about here? Another advocate? Simon showed me how to use that, so I felt I ought to. Another advocate? Okay. Who is it that helps us? John 14:26 says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The advocate is the Holy Spirit. He is the one to take the place of the Master's physical presence, of Jesus' physical presence. Jesus called the Spirit another advocate. Another meaning of the same kind. The Spirit of God is not different from the Son of God in essence. Both of them are God. It's Trinity Sunday, it's good, isn't it? So you know that. They're all of the same essence of divinity, of the Godhead. So the Holy Spirit is our helper on earth. He's our helper here on earth. He's our comfort. He is our strength. Now, I don't know what it says in your Bible. It might say advocate, as it does here. Or it might say comforter. Or it might say counselor. Or it might even say paraclete. It seems to be an even split across the translations I looked at as to which of those versions they use. But in John 14, 16 and 26, as we've just read, the Greek word is paraclete. You probably know this, but it literally means the one who is called to our side. And particularly one who's called along to our side to counsel and to support. Paraclete, called alongside. So para, think like parallel, alongside. Or para church organization, something alongside. Think of that word para. And cleat coming from to be called. In the Amplified Version, they decide to try and incorporate all of those meanings of this word paraclete. And so say, but the helper, they've used that word there, but paraclete, the paraclete, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit. That's who he is. And so this morning, let's lift our eyes to see the help the Lord has given. Let's appreciate and worship God in all of his fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for who he is in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the strengthening, never leaving helper. And so I just want to look this morning at kind of four of these areas where the Holy Spirit is to be with us. He's to be our never leaving helper, our strengthening, never leaving helper. And so I want to look at him as helper, as counselor, as comforter, and as advocate, and just spend a few moments on each of those this morning. So he's our helper. Jesus promised not to leave us as orphans. He promised another helper. Physical Jesus does not manifest with each believer. But I tell you who does, the Holy Spirit, with each believer. The Holy Spirit, the personal presence of God, the third person of the Trinity, the powerful, life-giving breath of God, comes to remain with each believer. He brings the divine presence of God because he is God and he's been promised to each believer. You know, we had Ascension Day just 10 days before Pentecost. That's probably a bit of a day like Trinity Day, which doesn't get much mention or notice in many Christian circles. And you probably celebrate it here than more than many churches do, but it ought to be really celebrated. Ought to be a really celebrated day. The day that Jesus returned to the Father must be celebrated alongside Easter and Christmas as a great day for us. Why? Because it was Jesus going away. And Jesus said that it was for our good that he returned to the Father. He says that it's better for us that he goes than that he stays, so that he can send the helper. John 16, Jesus says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. How often do you want Jesus with you? How often do you wish that Jesus was still walking the earth and you could see him and he was with you? And yet Jesus says, no, that's not what you want. It's much better that I return to the Father, because if I go to the Father, I can send the Holy Spirit to be with you. He's the helper, the paraclete, the advocate, the strengthener, the comforter that you need. Jesus says, this is what's better for you. Jesus says, this is better that I return and I send the Holy Spirit to you. You know, you might be like me and praying all kinds of things and praying that Jesus would come and sort it out. But I think sometimes when we pray like that, we've got the wrong idea. Jesus poured out the promised Holy Spirit so that we would know a refuge and a strength an ever-present help in trouble. Not just sending a helpful hint, but sending a never-leaving helper. Imagine that you are that you work for the RSC, that you're a representative for the RSC, and you're covering Europe, but you yourself actually have a wreck of a car. And you're somewhere in deepest, darkest Portugal. I don't know why Portugal's not a deep and dark, but it's in Europe. Deep, dark Portugal. And the car breaks down. So you ring the boss of RSC. You get through to the head man. And you explain the situation that you're out in Portugal on work, but your car has broken down. And you're ringing for some help. And if you phoned your boss and you got through the head of RSC, he might say something condemning. He might condemn you saying, well, you should have bought a better car. He might, or he could offer you wisdom and some good maintenance advice to stop it happening again and tell you what you should do. Well, what's the problem? This is what you should have done. Don't do it again. Try better next time. Go and fix it. He might offer you a manual. He might say, well, if you look in the glove box, there's a manual there with everything you need to know. Stop bothering me. Go and read the manual. Just get on with it. He might tell you that he can't help, but, you know, there are some people around you, and if you go and knock on a door, I'm sure one of them might be able to help you to fix your car. Go knock on the door, ask for some help. He might respond with something like, well, it's company policy to provide no-hope vehicles, so you just sit tight until you die, and then I'll come by and pick you up. And I think sometimes we view God's help in some of those terms. That we've got no hope of a life and we just put up with it until we die and then God comes and rescues us. Or we think it's all in the Bible and we're just to figure it out for ourselves. Or we think that, you know, he condemns us for the place and the position that we're in and the brokenness of our lives and we're just to, you know, it's our own fault. What should we do about it all? God's help doesn't come in those terms, any of those terms. When we call out to God, he says, I've sent my best roadside assistant to travel with you. He'll help you fix the car. The Holy Spirit, as our helper, is like a personal roadside assistant, our never-leaving helper. Now, he doesn't wear a high-vis jacket and travel in a car with us. He lives in us. He's our helper. He dwells with us. He never leaves us. He's our helper, not our gopher. He's not our lackey. He doesn't run our errands for us. He is the third person of the Trinity, the almighty life-giving breath of God. You know, sometimes we just want God to do stuff for us. We want the Holy Spirit just to come and invade us, to buy us out, to kind of take over. But the Holy Spirit isn't interested in that. He loves you too much to do that. So often I just think it would be so much easier if the Holy Spirit just came and lived in me and I just was powerless to what he wants to do. And there's a sense in which we become a slave to Christ. But for him just to override who we are is not to love us, but to dominate us. And the Holy Spirit loves us. He wants to live in you as a person. It would be to want God just to take over your personality would be to deny who God created you to be. He is the lover of your soul, and he longs that you know that. That his thoughts towards you are more in number than the grains of sand on a seashore. If you took a little cube of sand, sort of the size of a dice, just kind of 1 centimeter squared by 1 centimeter, 1 centimeter cubed, I guess, and you were able to fill that with sand, there'd be more than 1 million grains of sand just in 1 centimeter cubed, size of a dice that you'd play a game with. How many of those would be on a seashore? And yet, God's word says that his thoughts towards us are more than that. He cares about you this morning. He's given you himself as your helper to help you. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't left you. He is ever present with you. He doesn't just come to take over and push you out the way, but he loves you and he wants to love you for who you are. And he loves you enough not to leave you the way you are, but he doesn't come to shove you out the way. It's not a takeover bid. He comes alongside your soul and helps you to be the person you really created to be. He's not a dictator, but he wants to be in loving relationship with you. You know, and you see that throughout the Old Testament. God doesn't just do it for them. It's not just the Holy Spirit comes and does it for them, but he was there alongside them. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Psalm 118, verse 49 says, "Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord, and He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humans. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." No wonder the psalmist went on to say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Because he knew where his help came from. He knew that his help was in the Lord. He knew that he was his salvation. And so God gives us the Holy Spirit as our helper. Next, he is our comforter. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. You know, we each experience a certain amount of pain in this fallen world, and we each have our preferred sources of comfort during our suffering. Some of those sources are healthy, and others are unhealthy. Where do you go for comfort when you find yourself suffering? The Holy Spirit serves many roles, but one of those is to be the very real presence of God during a life crisis. God offers himself as our comfort and our strength. Instead of leaving us alone, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of each Christian to offer us encouragement, assistance, and comfort from the inside out. From within, where all that trouble really is, where our souls really experience trouble. Our circumstances can be pressurizing and stressful and difficult, but the real trouble comes from within, from within our souls. Do you rely on the Holy Spirit for comfort from life's pain? Is that where you turn? That's God's desire for you, that you turn to him. The Holy Spirit isn't given to provide us with a comfortable lifestyle or to make us comfy. He doesn't just put on an elastoplast and say, there. He comes to add strength to us. You know, so often we read comfort in the scriptures, and I think we think of consolation. Somebody who consolates us, sort of empathizes with us, does the elastoplast job. But really, comfort means to add strength. You know, it's got this word fort in it. It's like fortitude or to fortify. We understand that in English, don't we? It's to add strength, to strengthen something. And it's like this, to add with intensity. So like a command or something like that. Or to commitment, this sense of intensity. So it's intense strength, comfort that the Holy Spirit comes to bring to us. Those who empathize with us, those around us who try to bring us consolation and comfort, they make us a cup of tea, they give us a hug, they pray with us, put a hand on our shoulder, they walk with us, they do something nice, they send us a card. But in some ways, what we get from that is a strength. And to make something more comfortable is to find its weak point and to make it stronger. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, "Where's this weak point? How can I strengthen you in that suffering, in that discomfort, in that pain? How can I help?" You know, we think of consolation coming from the Holy Spirit. He does empathize with us. He does walk with us. He does understand our weaknesses. But the scripture says that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You'll receive power, that comfort, that strength, that power, that dunamis that comes when we receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does that. He is our comforter. He makes us stronger where we are weak so that we can be strong when others are weak. And that's what this scripture says. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation." It's strength. It's for your strength and salvation. If we are comforted, if we are strengthened, it is for your strengthening, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share
in our comfort, our strengthening. We are strengthened and comforted by God that we might strengthen and comfort others. The Holy Spirit is the strengthening, never-leaving helper. He's our helper, he's our comforter, and he's our counsellor. He's our counsellor, the one that is always drawn alongside us to give us support and guidance. The Holy Spirit reminds us and guides us into all truth. Read that in John. I think I just skipped one, but John 14, verses 17 and 26, we read those, that he reminds us of all truth. He reminds us of all truth. It's really important that we remember that he reminds us. That's why we read God's word, so that we can be reminded. If God's word isn't in us, if we're not dwelling on God's word, then we're at risk of mishearing, we're at risk of making it up, we're at risk of putting words in the mouth of God. God speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in Bible, in Bibleese, in Bible language, in Spirit-given words. And so we need to learn that language so that it's not a foreign language, so that when we hear the Holy Spirit remind us and speaking to us, he's able to remind us of what God has said, so not making it up. The Holy Spirit is the intercessor. Romans 8, 26, 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You know, the Holy Spirit counsels us the words to say when we need them. You've probably experienced that when you're evangelizing, when you're witnessing to somebody. They ask you a question and for a split second you feel stumped, and then the Holy Spirit just gives you the answers to say. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit gives us the word. He gives us Jesus. That's what he brings to us. That's how he counsels us. He counsels us with Jesus. You know, Jesus taught a parable when the disciples were asking teachers how to pray, and he said, well, he spoke about two people, one in the synagogue who thought he was going to be heard because of his many words and because he thanked God that he wasn't a sinner like the next person and that he was a Jew and that God heard him. And Jesus said, God doesn't hear that man with his many words. But see this man over here who takes a step back and just humbly beats his breast and prays, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Who cries out, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, help me. They're the words that the Father hears. Those kinds of prayers, those kind of words. And that's what the counselor, the Holy Spirit, does. He brings that cry to our hearts. Jesus, help me. God, help me. That's how he counsels us and intercedes for us. Jesus is the word. The Holy Spirit is also a counsel, like in the sense of a defense lawyer. You imagine that American courtroom drama that you might have seen. And they use that kind of term, counselor. So the judge will say, counselor, approach the bench or whatever. You know, a counselor is somebody there who stands to defend, who stands to give advice to the person who's in the dock, who's on trial. Gives the words to say. And Luke 12 says that the Holy Spirit will be with us there too. When you're brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you'll defend yourselves or what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. He's that counselor alongside us. Gives us what we need to say. Gives us what we need to pray. Helps us to know how to answer those who don't believe. The Holy Spirit reminds us of all these things. And he reminds our own hearts. Reminds our own hearts. He speaks to our own hearts of what we need to hear about Jesus. Now we move to advocate. And I think advocate is the word that's probably chosen in the New International Version because it's probably the English word that's most similar to paraclete. So we talked about paraclete meaning alongside, to be called alongside. And we kind of get that, don't we, from our advocate. Vocate, it's like vocal, it's like to summon alongside. I guess the most common time we would use this word, or often you hear it in English, is people speak of a devil's advocate. Yeah, so devil's advocate, that's the phrase most often used in. We don't hear it of God's advocate, do we, who is the Holy Spirit? But when we use that phrase, devil's advocate, we mean somebody who's choosing to be a representative, somebody speaking on his behalf, putting forward his argument. And you know, the Holy Spirit is God's advocate. He puts forward God's argument, God's word. We have somebody to speak on our behalf, the Holy Spirit. He speaks a good word for us and to us, and he speaks Jesus to us. He is our advocate, the one who calls alongside and summons alongside. It's not that we call him alongside, it's that the Father has called him to walk alongside us, to live alongside us. A little while ago, I was thinking about this thing about the Holy Spirit being an advocate, and I was picturing the Trinity, and I think there are different ways that we picture the Trinity, and some of those are incomplete pictures of how the Trinity really operates. So I want to just try and illustrate that a little bit. So I want three volunteers. So thank you, Pastor Hill, Jonathan and Simon, that'd be great. Will you just come up here for a moment for me? So if first of all, you could just stand in a row. We've got the Godhead represented here. We have the Father. Oh. Father Hill. We have the Son. And we have the Holy Spirit. Okay? And sometimes that we can picture the Godhead just kind of like this. Just the three of them stood together in a row, united front. And we can picture them like that. Or perhaps we could picture them sort of more kind of linked together. So if you maybe just linked together like this, the three of you in a circle, and we can picture them like that, the three of them all together in a loving in relationship, united in oneness and in their Godhead, and in every way linked. Or perhaps even they would be facing out over the other way, because God is a God who is forever expressing his glory and outward love. So link arms at facing outward if you would like. Yeah. And sometimes we can picture it like that. I think, if I'm honest, when I read my Bible, I sometimes picture it a little bit more like this. I picture Simon, the Holy Spirit, stood here a little bit. And I imagine these two in an embrace. I think as I read the Bible, sometimes I picture this, that these two have a fantastic relationship. The Father and the Son are one. You know, Jesus says, you know, I'm in the Father and he is in me and I will be in you. And you know, you sometimes picture it like this, and with the Holy Spirit sort of looking on a little bit. And sometimes we get this picture of the Trinity as we read Scripture. And then just recently, I saw a picture sort of depicting the Godhead. And it helped me understand something of the role of the advocate of the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. And the picture was of the Father embracing the Son dearly, like this. And the Holy Spirit just behind here, but kind of with his arms over them, like that. That's it, like that. You can embrace them too. And you're not a huggy person, are you, Simon? I'm detecting that. This is out of Simon's comfort zone right here.
This is happening.
And so I think a lot more intimate like this than this in the Godhead, but kind of this picture of the Father and Son and their relationship and the Holy Spirit being the advocate who is joyous about the relationship of the Father and of the Son. And he himself is bringing the Father to the Son. And they themselves are knowing the Spirit bringing them together, and it's him being the advocate, bringing the Father to the Son. Thank you, gentlemen, you can sit down. I mean, this would never happen, but imagine there was a day when the Father didn't really feel like loving the Son, or the Son really loving the Father. This is impossible, but imagine. And the Father and the Holy Spirit being the advocate that says, Father and Son, you have a wonderful love together. You love each other. Remember that you've been together all eternity and you love one another. And him kind of drawing them together. I'm not saying that he's the love between them or the bond between them, but because he is the Spirit. But that advocacy of bringing them together. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in your life and in my life. He advocates Jesus to us and advocates us to Jesus. He says, Jesus, here is your creation. Here's Mark. Here's Jonathan. Here's Janet, Fabian, all of you, whom you love, who you died for. And he brings Jesus to you. And he says, Mark, here's Jesus who died for you, who loves you, who gave himself at the cross for you. And he brings us together. He brings us into the Trinity. He is that advocate. He's another advocate. I hope that helps in some way. It helped me just to see the Holy Spirit as that advocate, the one who draws together. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sins. The Holy Spirit who points us to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us the mind of Christ, we read in Corinthians. That we are unable to comprehend all of God's wisdom, but somehow the Holy Spirit in our lives, the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, enables us to comprehend all that he's done for us and draws us to Jesus. He's described as another advocate. That's because Jesus is our first advocate. Oh, gone too far. 1 John 2:1 says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." The Holy Spirit is a strengthening, never leaving helper. He's not left you as an orphan. He's not left you to struggle with troubles and discomfort and pain and suffering. But he's sent his Holy Spirit to live in you, to never leave you, to be a helper, to be a strengthener, to be a counselor, to give you the words. The word he gives you is Jesus, because Jesus is our first advocate. He draws you to Jesus and he brings Jesus to you. He is the strengthening, never-living helper who leads us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. Therefore, those who boast, we boast in the Lord, because it is he, it's he that we're in. It's from in him that we're able to boast of all that God has done for us in revealing Christ to us, so that we might put our trust and our faith in him, that we're rescued from all of our trouble. That our souls are rescued from sin. That our souls are rescued from death and we're given eternal life. And that's the work that the Holy Spirit does in us. Let's just pray and then we're going to come to communion.